With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Talk to Gale Sayers, and we'll do so with David Haugh. David, appreciate the time. How you been?
Hi, Zach. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. And I appreciate what you just said, because I think a lot of people can relate to just that feeling of being related to somebody or knowing somebody, being close to someone who has suffered from dementia, and understanding how that changes somebody in terms of their family and the people that care for that person. And yet, it doesn't change the memories. They're all good ones, the ones that we want to treasure and cherish. And that's the case with Gale Sayers. He had a tough final couple years. We were aware of that here in Chicago. He had a very moving send-off in the summer of 2019 when the Bears celebrated their 100th anniversary, and he was wheeled in a wheelchair to the stage, and he was introduced, and the reaction and the reception from the Bears fans on that day out in Rosemont was really special. And it's one of those things that he realized, even though he could not express it, even though he was suffering from the effects of dementia, he understood the warmth that was being shown to him, and how he fits so uniquely in the lore of Bears history. And when you talk about Bears history, I think there you start make a list of legends, and you know, it's Halas, it's Peyton, it's Ditka, it's Butkus, it's Sayers. And it goes no further than five before you get to Gale Sayers.
When we talk about Gale, and everyone knows the name, you know, I've never saw him play, but everyone knows the legendary name. You have a different perspective. Being in Chicago, you probably got to know him over the years. Tell me a little bit more about the man. We all know the football player and his story, but tell me a little bit more about the man.
Yes, he was competitive up until, you know, as we said, the dementia started to change him. But I had... You know, when I was writing columns for the Chicago Tribune, a couple times over the years, you would get to the point where you would have a point of comparison. And Matt Forte's rookie season, for instance, or Matt Forte, you know, his career. I remember doing a column and calling Gale and kind of put it into context. And I made the mistake of suggesting to Gale Sayers that Matt Forte might be the second best running back in Bears history other than Walter Payton. And Gale Sayers stopped me in my tracks and said, whoa. You know who you're talking to, remember? And I did. And then again, probably around the same time with Devin Hester, I said something to the effect of, Gale, can we agree that you and Devin Hester and Gale Sayers are considered two of the all-time greatest kick returns in NFL history, and they're both with Chicago Bears. That has to be special. He said, yeah, it is definitely special, but let's make sure you get the order correct. And he was definitely wanted to be known for what he was so good at, and that was running the football. All he needed was 18 inches of daylight, he famously said. And also as one of the elite return men, because the way that he ran, it was speed, it was elusiveness, it was the ability to change directions. He ran with elegance, he ran with explosiveness, but he always took pride in the fact that he believed that he did it as well as anybody ever did.
What were the conversations like, David Haugh here with us on the show from The Score in Chicago, as we remember the late, great Gale Sayers, who did pass away today at the age of 77. I don't know if you ever had these conversations, but he had such a great career, but it wasn't a long career because of the injuries. How did he reflect on those injuries?
Well, I say that I can remember interviewing him once. It was a retrospective of something, and he talked about how obviously the knee injury in 1968 was something that he at one point in time did dwell on, and it was a woe is me, but he got over that quickly because he felt like there was more to achieve. And I can remember him talking about how he was so proud of the fact in 1969, and forgive me, but I think that he was the only running back in the league to gain 1,000 yards, and he led the league in rushing, and that was a year after having the knee, the torn ACL, and the real catastrophic injury against the 49ers. And I think that to him represented more or as much as, you know, he was as proud of that as he was about the 6 touchdowns or all the records and all the things that he accomplished because of what it represented, the resilience and just the determination and everything that he had to dig into and reach deep into, you know, his reservoir of resolve and to kind of come back. And that to me kind of epitomized what he wanted to be, just a real, known as a really hard worker who didn't cheat himself of the years he was able to play for the Chicago Bears.
Now, I was on the air a few weeks ago as David Hawes here with us when we found out about Tom Seaver, who was also battling dementia, who passed away. And I remember saying this on the show that radio in times like this, even though these guys have lived great lives and they got robbed of their later years, like we were talking about in the beginning, we try to focus on the positive memories. And really that day, radio is very therapeutic for a lot of people. Us as hosts, giving us, you know, our opinions and our memories of guys that many people did love, but also for people to call in. For you today, how'd you guys handle it? How'd you guys approach it on the air? And what were some of the better stories that you got from listeners today?
It was really good. That's a really good question, you know, because it was cathartic today, I think, for Score listeners in Chicago and Bears fans across the city. We were on the air right around 8 o'clock Central Time, and we were actually interviewing the Cubs pitching coach, Tommy Hotovy, who's an NFL fan, and, you know, there's no easy way to pivot into breaking news. Gale Sayers has passed away. And yet when we did, the Cubs pitching coach took a moment and reflected on his memory of a Gale Sayers. And Tommy Hotovy, I think, is 38 years old. But everybody, you know, of every generation who was an NFL fan understands the gravity of what happened today. And so from that in the beginning of the morning and throughout the day, you know, we heard from former teammates like Ed Obradovich, who was just passionate in what he had to say and what he loved about Gale Sayers, to Dan Jiggetts, who was, you know, obviously a big radio legend in the town, a former Bear who got to know Gale very well. And he just represented so much because, as you pointed out, you know, Tom Seaver's a great comp because of what he meant to the sport. And I look at that. I remember reading Tom Seaver's book when I was a kid, and that was the first sports book I ever remember reading. And it meant something to me, and it spoke to me. And along the same lines, you know, Gale Sayers' autobiography, I Am Third, you know, that spoke to a generation of Bears fans because, you know, God is first, my friends are second, and I am third. And that, to me, epitomized everything he represented. And today was just a tremendous day of reflection across the city where Bears fans, because we got a lot going on in town, as you introduced me. We've got, you know, 3 first-place teams. The Bears are 2-0. We got the White Sox and Cubs in first, and the Bulls hired Billy Donovan, a home run hire. And yet today, people wanted to take time to kind of pay their respects to an all-time Bears great who, you know, did it in a way that nobody really has done it before or after.
And you know what it is? It's because football is always synonymous with family, too. And we know the person. We know the legend that Gale Sayers was. But, you know, someone's grandfather was watching in the 1960s, and then they passed it on to their kids, and then their kids pass it on to their kids. And, you know, every football fan, if you're in a football family, you know the players that came before you, because when you sit down on Sunday, you have grandpa, you have dad saying, yeah, this player is great, but he's not insert player name that they grew up watching.
That's a great point. You know, grandpa, how did that guy never get to the playoffs? My gosh, the YouTube videos are unbelievable. You know, and everybody knew what Gale Sayers was. And then they say, boy, he reminds me of Barry Sanders. And boy, he reminds me, doesn't he look a little bit like Lamar Jackson, the way that he jukes defenders and just changes direction on a dime? And Gale Sayers could have played in any era and been just as phenomenal. And yet he played when he did. and it was a shame that he had the injury, but he was deprived of more. But what we saw, we were really fortunate to see in Chicago. He made himself right at home in the backfield, and he was a guy that the youngest Hall of Famer ever at 34 when he went in, and there was nobody that doubted why. And today, yeah, just sad, 77 years old, and the Kansas Comet gone too fast.
And still to this day, David Haw, my uncle, when we watch Patriot games, I'm convinced he doesn't even know anyone on the running backs of the Patriots, because whoever gets the ball, it's that guy's not Sam Bam Cunningham. that's what I'm talking. Even when there's a big hit, oh, that's Sam Bam Cunningham. I go, Uncle Gary, hate to break the news to you, the guy hasn't played since 1982. All right.
Well, Zach, we still compare quarterbacks in this town to Sid Luckman, so okay, I totally get it.
David Haw, so let's get into the crazy sports scene these days in Chicago. Let's start with the Bears. Hey, you take the victories as they come. They had the comeback against the Lions. They hung on against the Giants. Is there optimism in Chicago? I still think this is a bad football team, though.
There's optimism balanced with realism, and I think I'm probably more realistic than I am optimistic. This is a team that is fortunate to be 2-0. I think they step up in class against a bad Falcons defense this week, but Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley are going to give them all they can handle. The defense has not really, I think, been what you expected. Mitch Trubisky has been ordinary. He's had really high highs and low lows, and somewhere in the middle he has to kind of consistently perform. The big surprise to me, and I think around town, has been that Matt Nagy has legitimately committed to a running game. He has averaged 30 rushes per game, and I think that is the most promising sign through 2 weeks, because if they can achieve balance, protect the football, and get their defense back to resembling an intimidating unit again with the takeaways, then they could play playoff football in a division that I don't think is going to be as good as people anticipated.
After year one with that Khalil Mack trade, it was highway robbery. They robbed the Raiders. Now the Raiders are 2-0. You also have the Bears 2-0. Do people look at that deal a little bit differently because of what the Bears have become, even though Mack's a great player?
They could at the end of this year. I don't think they want to yet, because I feel like it's kind of a grudging acceptance of what you just said might be true, could be true, but they don't want it to be true, because I think what he provided in 2018 – was such a therapeutic experience in the fact the Bears were finally fun again. There was so much cynicism surrounding the organization that Chicago needed that in a way that probably is as healthy of a football season as we've had in years around town. So I think that they're ready for him to do that again, to be that player once again. He had a sack on Sunday. He was unblocked. I don't think he could have done anything else but run into the quarterback. He's got a lot to prove, I think, this year. He's got to prove that he's healthy. He's got to prove that he was worth the haul that they gave up to get him, like he did without question in 2018 when he was as valuable as any player in football.
Will we see Nick Foles at some point this year, in your opinion?
I do. I do think we will see Nick Foles. I think what we're seeing right now is Matt Nagy kind of recalibrating his scheme, and he's expecting Mitch Trubisky to execute it. At some point in time, I think that Mitch is going to have to stop worrying so much about being good and start concerning himself with becoming great. And I don't know if that's possible with him. I want to be fair, but after 43 NFL starts, I wonder if we have seen what we're going to get. In that context, I think Nick Foles steps in, and he's more of a secure in who he is as an NFL quarterback. He's going to be more likely to take the risk that could possibly produce a bigger reward. And I think that in the end is going to be why he plays ahead of Mitch. I don't know if it will be injury, inconsistency, or a combination of both, but I would be really surprised if the quarterback they guaranteed $21 million to in the offseason doesn't play a big part in this season.
David Haw, I've always said this with Nick Foles. The reason they brought him in was an insurance policy, because they wanted to give Mitch that opportunity to be the starting quarterback once again. And let's be real, Foles, as crazy of a career that he's had, he's never started a full 16 games. With all that being said, how much have people second-guessed bringing in Foles with after what we've seen? And I know that if you're bringing Cam would have been the starter week one, but how much conversation have there been about why the heck didn't the Bears bring in Cam for like $2 million?
After Sunday night, quite a bit. You know, I think after Sunday night, you saw what Cam Newton has done for the second week in a row. And I have to, in all fairness and full disclosure, in March, I was one of the guys who was saying Cam Newton is too big of a health risk to invest that much hope and money in when we didn't know what the price was. So that said, I do think there was some of that going on Sunday night. I do think people wonder if Nick Foles was overpriced as an insurance policy. At the same time, I think there's an expectation that Mitch, just because we have seen him be so radically different from quarter to quarter at times, there's an expectation that he will be replaced, that he's the most replaceable starter, you know, in that division and maybe in the NFC. So, a lot of conversation surrounding the quarterback. Mitch can do a lot to quell some of those concerns with the big game against Atlanta, but because there's going to be opportunities. This is a bad defense giving up 39 points a game. He's got to take advantage, and if he doesn't, that will underscore the urgency because the Bears have a chance here to do something this season in a division, to get to the playoffs, and that would be pretty big in Matt Nagy's third season.
Is all good with Allen Robinson right now, or is there still some bad blood there?
I think all is well. He's a pro. He went out, and I think that he denied today that was a factor in his limited production. It was one of his five worst games as a Bear. He only had three catches. I think the Bears feel like, you know, they don't want to budge. I think Allen Robinson has some leverage here, but he's their most valuable offensive player. I would think they're playing with fire here a little bit. There's a lot of support for Allen Robinson in the locker room, certainly in the city. So I don't think it's been a big issue yet. Last week was he got kind of bubbled up and got a little bit overblown, but I think he can do his business. He's not one of those wide receiver divas that tends to let the outside factors affect his preparation. So I'm not going to let one game change that, my opinion of that. So he's got a chance on Sunday to kind of come back and be a big difference maker.
David Hoff from The Score here with us for a few more minutes at Gilp Show, CBS Sports Radio. David, host Morning Drive, Mully and Hall on The Score. Great morning show on a legendary station. Billy Donovan, I was surprised by that one. I think it's a great hire. Don't get me wrong. I just thought Billy would have taken a better roster, in my opinion.
I'm with you. I think that there was a lot of surprise that the Bulls hired Billy Donovan, that they chose him. But I don't think it was the surprise in that they chose him. It was a surprise that he chose them. You know, there are good jobs out there. There's a chance to coach Zion Williamson. There's a chance to coach teams that are already in the playoffs the past season. And he looked at the opportunity in Chicago, and he looked at the chance with this roster, which has some talent. It's just been really set by injuries and some poor coaching, frankly, by Jim Boylan in the past. Billy Donovan saw an opportunity here. And in this market, I think he feels like there's a real opportunity to do some things. And it's a special franchise because of, you know, maybe he got caught up in The Last Dance as well as everybody else in America. I don't know. But Billy Donovan chose the Bulls, and that to me was as big of a factor as much as the Bulls choosing him, because that was a no-brainer. And now the Bulls have made, you know, it's very strange here in Chicago, Zach. Since the pandemic, the Bulls have made one decision after another, and it's been a series of decisions that all make sense and have created no skepticism. So it has been a very odd feeling to not be able to criticize the Bulls the past 6 months.
It's a bizarre spot to be in, no doubt about it, with some of the decisions that franchise has made since Michael Jordan's been there, even when Michael Jordan was there, as we saw in The Last Dance. All right, final one for David Hall from The Score in Chicago. Which Chicago baseball team do you think is better, White Sox or Cubs?
I think the White Sox have more talent. I think the Cubs might be better equipped for the playoffs. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the experience. Maybe it's the fact that I can't believe that they are playoff bound after all four of their core players have barely hit their weight this truncated season. I love the White Sox. They're exciting. They're young. They hit home runs. They have flair. They flip bats. They do everything that you love about young teams kind of coming into their own. But I just wonder about if they're going to flame out quickly in the playoffs. I hope that I'm wrong, but I could see the Cubs surprising some people based on their moxie, based on getting some quality clutch starting pitching. They know what it takes to win in the postseason and in October. And that, to me, I'd give them a slight edge over the White Sox only because I think you have to value experience in October.
David, great stuff. Really do appreciate the insight on Gale Sayers and then obviously everything going on with Chicago. Make sure you check out The Score, Mully and Hall in the mornings. We'll talk to you down the road, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Anytime.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.